Matthew. We're going to take from our gospel lesson here. Our opening text is verse 19, but before we get to that, our title is Being a Fisher Without Being a Fisher. Matthew 4 and 19. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Father God in heaven, in the name of Jesus, we pray that today we would heed these words and that indeed we would follow you, not as any sort of one-time event, but it would be our lifelong calling. Father, we know that whatever it is we follow, we become like. And so if, even as Christians, if we've stopped following you and stopped hearing from you and stopped praying to you, then you will be replaced by something else. And we'll become like that something else, whatever that something else is. Father, you call your people to be fishers of men, and you promise to do that if we would follow you. And so we pray that you would help us to become like you by following you, and thereby be those fishers of men. We pray that you would make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Being a fisher without being a fisher. There are all sorts of oddities about the English language that make it difficult and make it very confusing. There are words that sound alike. There are words that are spelled alike but do not sound alike. There are words that are spelled differently but sound alike. Having reviewed all of that, we still yet have not touched upon the meaning of those words. Jesus here challenges us to be fishers, fishers of men. We know what that means. It means do the same sort of things that people would do in attempt to catch fish. Sunnies and perch and bass and tuna and bullheads or catfish. Outside the view of what Jesus is saying here is the same spelling, the same sounding word, fishers, which are a very dark furred animal who are the largest of an animal family called martens. Not to be confused, of course, with my dear friends and many other people whose surname is Martin. I ran into a little bit of this during school this past week. I said week, W-E-E-K, not W-E-A-K, by the way. We know all about these things. There's the word read, and there's the word read. There's the word record, and then there's the word record. Of course, there's also there and there and there, and they're all different. One student this past week was showing me her home-produced instructional manual. She wanted to make this book for doing artwork. And I applaud that kind of incentive and that kind of energy and drive and ingenuity there and creativity. She wants to produce this instructional manual for artwork and for drawing pictures. And so I had asked her to bring it in sometime, and she did. And, you know, I said, and I'm very, very willing to do this. I said, you know, our church has a publishing company connected to it, and, you know, maybe this is something we could publish. We're not looking to always publish things that are these great theological documents or anything of that sort. We'll publish things that are profitable and noteworthy for all of life. So I asked her to bring it in. I said we can look at it and, you know, maybe publish it. I want to encourage her, as I'd like to encourage all of us as well. But on one of the opening passages, open on one of the opening pages, as I just kind of glanced at it and looked at it, I read, How to Draw Boys. And I said, really? How to draw boys. Of course I understood what she meant. But not before we had a little bit of a chuckle and the rest of the class with us, followed by an explanation, because there's drawing and then there's drawing. Today I want to talk to you about something that is really, really important. And it's something that is almost impossible. It is definitely impossible for us on our own. Really important, almost impossible to do, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with having a better command of the English language. It's being a fisher without being a fisher. You get the first part, I think. I'm guessing that doesn't need a whole lot of explanation. It does, however, if successful, result in the fish being separated, being removed from its natural environment. That's what you do when you catch a fish. The fish lives in water. When you catch that fish is removed from its normal surroundings, its normal environment, and it comes into a new environment. It is separated from that old environment. It's separated from its natural and its native environment. Where does fisher come in? F-I-S-S-U-R-E. This sort of fisher also has some variety in its meaning, but usually, not always, but usually it has a very negative, very, very detrimental, unhealthy connotation. A fisher is a tear, not to be confused with T-A-R-E, not to be confused with a tear, like a teardrop, but a tear, a rip, a separation, a division, a break, a cut, a crack, an ulceration, a splitting apart. That's what a fissure is. Christians can, and they should be fishers of men. Matthew 4 and 19, our opening passage. Attracting other people out of worldliness, there's a separation there, and into Christ. That separation is good. That separation is godly. That separation is sanctification. That separation is salvation. They have a new environment. They have a new relationship. They have new life. They have new surroundings. All of that is good. Sadly, too often, fissures of that negative sort occur, even by Christians. Remember 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13, and Corinth was known for a lot of worldliness in the culture, but the gospel had gone there, and some folks were called out of that environment of worldliness, the new life in Christ. The apostles went there, and they preached the gospel, and they were fishers of men, and they came into the church at Corinth, and that's good. And so Corinth was known for that worldliness of which the Christians had come out by the grace of God, because there were fishers of men. But the church in Corinth also had a reputation. And the church in Corinth was known for her schisms, known for her fights, her fractures, her fissures, the long and the deep divisions, the breaks in fellowship, and the breaks in unity. Peter read this for us here. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Not that you actually mouth the same words, but you have a unity there. You're brothers and sisters. You're part of the same family now. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, having the same judgments. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by the way, he calls them brothers,
by them who are of the house of Chloe that there are contentions among you. There's fissures. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I'm of Paul, or I'm of this guy, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? You see, there is one Savior, and that's why it's so important that Jesus predicates this whole idea of being fishers of men with follow me. And if we don't follow him, we will become like what we do follow. And so our call today really is this idea that unless we follow Jesus, if we follow Jesus, we will be fishers of men. But if we don't follow Jesus, we will become fishers. F-I-S-S-U-R-E. Once we come out of the world and into Christ, we need to come together. This idea of always dividing should cease. If we look at Romans in chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Much of the entirety of the New Testament epistles, all the letters to the church, that's what that phrase means, all the letters to the church are really dominated by this idea of getting along. And I could read them, we could go over them, but they're all over the place. Be of the same mind. Have the same mind as Christ Jesus. Be in submission one to another. Be humble before each other. Do what you do in love. All of these letters to the New Testament churches are letters to those churches calling upon those who have been fished out of the world. And the letters are written to those who have been fished out of the world to not be fishers, to not be dividers. This is really simple what it is I want to say to you, but I want to break it apart a little bit here in terms of our understanding and say it's really easy to be a fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R. It's really easy to be a fisher and a fisher, F-I-S-S-U-R-E. How can you do that? Don't follow Christ, just continue to be as obnoxious as you possibly can. Be opposed to everything, everybody, and make sure that you establish your own set of righteousness and have zeal about it in everything and everything around you except for the zeal and the excitement that you have for Christ. The Pharisees were good examples of those who at least tried to be fishers and fishers. Look over at Matthew chapter 23 and verse 15. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You compass the sea. They're going everywhere they can. They were zealously evangelistic. Get everybody else to come in and to become like us. You compass the sea and the land to make one proselyte. That's to find one convert. And when you have made him a convert, when you have fished him out of the world, you make him into twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. They worked hard at it. Earnest work at fishing. They were doing in their mind the work of evangelism with every bit as much earnest work at developing fishers, according to Jesus. Indeed, it is easy to be a fisher and a fisher. But at the end of the day, you may think that you're a fisher in the good sense. You may even be trying to do that, but you really won't be much of a good and godly fisher. You won't be much
as a draw of men to Christ. But there's another way of looking at this as well. It's really easy to be neither a fisher or a fisher. You know, somebody once asked Dorothy there in The Wizard of Oz, are you a good witch or are you a bad witch? And Dorothy replied, why, I'm not a witch at all. Sit on the sidelines and you will never be a fisher or a fisher. The really difficult thing, the almost impossible thing, is being a fisher without being a fisher. You see, Jesus calls you to be the one without being the other, without becoming the other. The backdrop of his whole work was the whole world. It wasn't us Jews are the only real fish. We're not the only ones who really count. If we look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 25, this is the follow-up verse to the one that we had in our gospel lesson. It says, and there followed him great multitudes, people from Galilee and from Decapolis. And yeah, okay, people from Jerusalem, people from Judea. Those people down in Jerusalem, Judea, and in the southern part there, they would have a tendency to be more overtly Jewish. But Galilee was known as Galilee of the Gentiles. A real mixed bag. And what a clue we have with not only from Galilee, but also from Decapolis. That's a Greek word there. We split it apart into that compound word into its components. And that means 10 cities. So this was an area which was heavily populated by non-Jewish people. And that's where God sent Christ, so that the whole world could come in. The gospel lesson in Matthew 4, verses 12 through 16, was set as the fulfillment of the Old Testament reading that we had in Isaiah. When Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. Again, that's that northern section, leaving Nazareth. He came and he dwelt in Capernaum. This is one of those northern cities, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was saying by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. Folks, there are hordes of people out there who need to be removed from the darkness that they are in. Only the grace of God can do it, and that's why God calls us to be fishers of men. Separate them. Speak to them. Give them a new environment. Give them a place. You know, in our culture, we talk about safe places, and we talk about those safe places in a very negative way. There is a true, good, godly, safe place. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. And God went out to the people who sat in darkness, and he showed them the great light. And to them that sat in the shadow of death, upon them the light has come. God calls us to be fishers of men. The gospel represents the good news that wants no part of a party spirit that makes for fishers in the church. And God wants us to be welcoming of all different sorts of those who come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Our challenge, therefore, is to be a fisher, wooing men, appealing to them, pleading with them to separate from the world without becoming expert and adept and accomplished at division. As was said, this is almost impossible. The truth usually is at the highest point of tension.
Separate, divide from the world, but do not divide from each other. St. Paul said it this way in Galatians in chapter 5. Brethren, you've been called into liberty. You've been called out of that pond of scum known as the world, where there is darkness and the shadow of death. You've been given this new life. You have been called into liberty. Only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, following your own whims. Maybe following things that might be replacement gods, like the law. But by love, serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. How do we divide without dividing further? How do we separate without separating further? How do we become fishers without becoming fishers? The formula is very simple here in Matthew 4 and 19. Very simple to understand, but very difficult for us to do. Very difficult for us to perform. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. This is impossible without Christ. But nothing is impossible for him. It also means that you keep following him. Again, it's easy to not be a fisher or a fisher. I'm not causing any problems anywhere. It's easy to be neither. But if we're going to be fishers of men in the good and the godly sense, we must be followers of him, and it means that we need to keep following him. And to keep following him means this, that our mindset is never to be, I've arrived, and I have all the answers. Because a follower is still following. A follower is still learning. A follower is not a know-it-all. There's nothing here about I've arrived. It's following him. Nor is it this, that, you know what, I remember back when I was in second grade, I raised my hand and I said yes to Jesus. That's not a bad thing. But that's not what's in view here. What's in view here is follow me. Continue to follow him. Be following him today. Not that I raised my hand in second grade back then saying yes to Jesus, but I have failed to say or hear anything from him since then. Follow me, Jesus says. And brothers and sisters, if and as we follow him, then and only then, will we be being fishers of men without being fishers. Only then will we have the credible and the incredible story to tell to the nations. And they will listen and they will come. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, this has been a simple lesson and a simple scripture. We would help that in its simplicity, we would not pass over it, skim by it, not be concerned about it. Father, you desire that we be fishers of men. And oftentimes we expend more energy being that other sort of fisher. We would ask for your help. We would ask for your grace. We would ask for your forgiveness. We would ask that you would help us to be following Jesus, to be doing so today and continuing on each and every day. We pray that you would make it so, that following him, we would become more like him. We ask this in Jesus' name because we have a story to tell to the nations. And all God's people said,
Amen.